the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Good morning and thanks for joining us today at Farm City Newsday. A California winemaker was honored by the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. Warren Winiarski of Napa will receive the James Smithsonian Bicentennial Medal for his contribution to American winemaking and the American Food and Wine History Project. Winiarski said, quote, "I'm greatly honored to receive this medal, and I want to share its honor with those who over time have sought to elevate wine as food for the spirit." Winiarski has been in the wine industry for more than 50 years. Moving on to what's happening in today's show, Brian German is talking with us about state officials moving to find a way around federal plans for California water. Taylor Hillman has details on the speakers that will be talking at the Almond Board of California's conference in just a couple of weeks. And I'm starting off the show today with more details on the romaine lettuce outbreak, so let's jump right in. More big retailers are pulling romaine lettuce products from their shelves after several people have fallen ill. And what seems like a repeat of last year has consumers falling ill just before the Thanksgiving holiday after the Center for Disease Control linked an E. coli outbreak to romaine lettuce grown in the Salinas area. The Centers for Disease Control is warning all consumers to not eat any type of romaine lettuce, including whole heads, hearts, salad mixes, and even organic lettuce from the Salinas growing area. Until further investigation can link a specific farm, all types of lettuce grown from the Salinas area have been pulled from major grocery stores, including Kroger, Target, Walmart, Aldi, Sam's Club, and more. According to the CDC, there have been 40 reported cases of foodborne illness, with 28 hospitalizations across 16 different states, including right here in California. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has recalled more than 97,000 pounds of various types of romaine products. However, the FDA maintains consumers can still eat lettuce, just not grown from the Salinas area. As folks prepare for their Thanksgiving Day meals, the FDA encourages consumers to take a look at the labeling, showing where the romaine lettuce product was grown. If there is no label, they encourage you not to purchase. Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Danielle Leal. And now here's Brian German with more agriculture news.
The California Department of Water Resources released its draft environmental impact report last week for the long-term operations of the State Water Project. The announcement was made at the same time that California officials indicated they would be suing the Trump administration over its plans for the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. The underlying issue both state and federal agencies are wrestling with is how to best manage California water to protect species and habitat. The draft from DWR allows water project operations to circumvent the proposed guidelines from federal agencies while also remaining consistent with California regulation. DWR will be seeking approval from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to operate the State Water Project in a manner more in line with the California Endangered Species Act. DWR will be developing an application for a permit from CDFW under the California Environmental Quality Act. The draft will be available for public comment through January 6th. DWR anticipates completing a final document in early 2020, with a permit from CDFW expected to follow. CalEPA and the California Natural Resources Agency indicated in a press release that the state intends to file litigation against federal agencies in relation to the latest biological opinions that were released by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service back in October. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently extended the comment period while the agency continues to develop the blueprint for its new Era of Smarter Food Safety initiative. In comments sent to FDA, the National Farmers Union is emphasizing an approach to regulation that takes size and risk into consideration. The group expressed concern that as the food safety system continues to evolve, smaller farmers and processors may be put at a financial and educational disadvantage in relation to some of the new traceability technologies. NFU President Roger Johnson suggested the development of some type of grant program to focus on smaller farming operations with the provision of research, education, and training. Johnson also encouraged the development of new food safety technologies that are scale appropriate, taking all farm sizes into account. The comment period for FDA's initiative will remain open until December 5th. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
More and more desperate farmers turning to lenders outside the usual banks and government systems.
We're seeing an increase, and it is a concern.
Farm Credit Administration Chairman Glenn Smith telling a House Ag Subcommittee Tuesday, normally if farmers are turned down for credit from everybody, then the USDA's Farm Service Agency is supposed to be the lender of last resort. But
unfortunately, isn't always. And these operators are looking to alternative sources because they have no choice.
So they go to what some call payday lenders who charge very high interest rates, making it all the more difficult for a producer to pay back that loan, possibly leading to foreclosure of the farm. And Smith said farm foreclosures are up.
The numbers aren't alarming, but the percentage increases are.
Smith said the Farm Credit Administration is issuing guidance to local farm credit associations to encourage them to
step up outreach finance efforts to those troubled families to come up with a plan for the best possible solution.
In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. More agriculture news and farm features are coming up. Welcome back to AgNet West Farm City News Day. We've got more agriculture news right now.
An event to improve soil health is coming up on Thursday, December 5th in Yolo County. The Cover Crop Field Day and Farm Tour at River Garden Farms in Knight's Landing will feature discussions on increasing crop yield through improving soil health, attracting beneficial insects, and lowering overall farm costs. The Farm Tour will begin at 10 a.m. that morning, which will be followed by a Cover Crop Q&A panel. District Conservationalist for Solano and Napa Counties, Wendy Rash will be discussing how to incorporate cover cropping into your farming system and how the practice can help to return nitrogen to the soil and reduce the amount of synthetic fertilizer that's required. UC Cooperative Extension Rice Advisor Whitney Brim DeForest will also be presenting information on non-chemical weed control in rice systems. Other featured speakers include Dominic Bruno of River Garden Farms, Scott Park of Park Farm Organics, and Tom Johnson with Camprant Seed Company. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, we told you last month that many cattle producers are looking forward to seeing more U.S. beef going to Japan. The U.S.-Japan trade agreement, of course, was recently signed by President Trump, but there are still many details that have to be ironed out first. National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Director of International Trade and Market Access, Kent Backus, says part of the overall process included a hearing on the deal that took place last week in Washington, D.C.
The hearing with House Ways and Means was looking at the overall deal itself. So this was just really an opportunity for people to kind of air both sides of this. And I think there's general agreement that this is a great first step, and that we're going to have to work towards a more comprehensive agreement. But for the U.S. beef industry, this is huge. I mean, Japan is a $2 billion market for us. It represents about a quarter of our overall exports. And if we don't do something soon, we're going to fall further behind Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Mexico, and even the Europeans, who all have preferential treatment in the Japanese market. So while people are kind of taking both sides or different angles on the overall approach, the end result is that this is a good deal for us. This is going to put us on par come January 1st. And at this time in our industry, that's exactly what we need. We need to remain competitive in our leading export market.
And when it comes to China, Backus knows that is another important market for U.S. beef.
Trade is part of a much larger conversation with the Chinese right now. So while our negotiators have done an incredible job, you know, lining up not only removal of trade barriers, but also getting some ag purchases, and hopefully beef is going to be part of all that, that's yet to be determined. We have to keep in mind that there are a lot of other things that are out there right now that could influence the process. This whole issue with Hong Kong, not only that, but we have a lot of, you know, different military moves that are happening over there too. There's a lot that's happening in that entire theater, and trade is an important part of that, but it's not all of it. And I think we have to keep that in perspective. One thing that we can be thankful for is the fact that we do have access to the Chinese market. And so I think it's important we continue to support the administration and their efforts. And we really need to see this come to fruition, hopefully by the end of the year.
Again, that was NCBA's Kent Backus. You can learn more about all this at ncba.org. And Brazilian officials told Bloomberg it's a matter of if, not when, the U.S. will reopen its market to Brazil's meat exports. The Trade and Foreign Relations Secretary for Brazil's Ag Ministry said we are 100% confident that it will happen. Our meat has the necessary quality to be exported to the U.S. Our meat's quality is not an issue, but no date has been set yet in stone as to when the U.S. will begin accepting imports from Brazil. Brazil recently provided additional answers to the U.S. questions about the Brazil beef industry, and they're now waiting for the U.S. to finish its analysis of those answers. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
For most of us, a holiday feast table's got to have a turkey and one other standby.
Time for your partner to reach across and do-si-do.
Cranberry sauce, yeah. Cranberry synonymous with the holidays, but from the standpoint of the cranberry industry.
We, of course, want to push the year-round versatility. We also want people to look at cranberries in a different way around the holidays.
Oh, that's Karen Cahill with the Cranberry Marketing Committee. We're talking with her at the USDA's Farmers Market in Washington. What do you mean a different way during the holidays?
You can use them for decoration. You can make a floating candle display, make a flower arrangement with cranberries.
Well,
there's think outside the box things other than cranberry sauce.
I think you mean in addition to cranberry sauce. You guys are making up and giving out samples of another food item. What's this one?
Cranberry salsa.
Fresh cranberry salsa?
Which is definitely a different flavor profile than I think some people are used to.
I bet so. You can get that salsa recipe and others. Go online to uscranberries.com, uscranberries.com. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Plants California Alliance launched a new website that provides easy, accessible information on how the organization advocates for California's nursery industry. California Plant Alliance was created in March of this year, and it's said to bring together farmers, nurseries, landscape providers, wholesale and retail garden centers, all to advocate for the horticulture industry in California. Now members of the organization can connect more easily through its new website, www.plantcalifornia.com. In a statement, Clayton Smith of Monterey Lawn and Garden, who also serves as the chairman of the new organization, said, quote, "The Plant California Alliance believes that a strong, viable nursery industry is critical to life in California. Our organization benefits members in many ways, and our new membership committee and board have worked to establish a dues structure that is fair and easy to understand, with memberships available to all size growers, wholesalers, retailers, and professionals throughout the nursery industry. On the website, you can find links to several organizations who work collaboratively with Plant California Alliance, as well as information on available scholarship opportunities. And stay tuned, as an archive of important nursery industry research projects will also be listed. Those in the industry can easily join the organization by becoming members by accessing the website. Again, that's www.plantcalifornia.com. This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AgNet West Farm City News Day. We've got more agriculture news right now.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com/growers. Two different yet both incredibly motivating speakers are confirmed to talk during the industry lunches at this year's Almond Conference. Well-known beach volleyball Olympian Kerry Walsh Jennings will speak on Tuesday, December 10th, and high-altitude climber and Arvin native John Stenderup will follow on Wednesday, December 11th. The Almond Board of California's Darren Williams said the two have incredible stories, one being the most decorated beach volleyball Olympian of all time, and the other conquered a feat that only a few hundred climbers have ever done.
Darren Williams, Senior Director of Global Communications at the Almond Board of California.
Darren, we're talking today, very exciting news. You guys have your two speakers, your luncheon speakers lined up for the upcoming Almond Conference. Two very different stories, very interesting stories. I think the first one we're going to talk about, people are probably more familiar with because she was in the Olympics, but this is Kerry Walsh. For those who don't know her, who is Kerry Walsh?
We're just naming her as our spokesperson for a campaign that we're going to be doing around the 2020 Olympics next summer, which are taking place in Tokyo. And Kerry will be going for her sixth straight Olympic appearance. And I think about that, you know, every 4 years, that means, you know, a 24-year career, if I'm doing my math right, Olympic career. And there's just very few people who have ever achieved that kind of longevity in a sporting event. Her sporting event being, of course, beach volleyball. Hopefully people remember the days of Kerry Walsh Jennings and Misty May Traynor winning gold medals in three consecutive Olympics back in 2008, 2000, starting in 2004, sorry, 2008 and 2012. And she's then got a bronze medal in her last appearance with a new partner. And then we're going back this year for her sixth Olympic appearance, if she makes the team, with a brand new teammate that she's just been, I think, competing with in the past year.
Very cool. Yeah, I think the fact that Almonds will be behind a beach volleyball Olympian and, you know, what kind of shape those people are in is just, it's an amazing image to put with California Almonds.
Well, we really had a lot of success this past year partnering with one of the Women's World Cup team members, soccer team members, Julie Ertz. Hopefully people saw those ads during the World Cup this past summer. And building on that success, we said, what's the big sporting event in 2020? And the Olympics clearly are going to be on everybody's radar screen. Everybody's going to be talking about it. And the fact that she's going to be making this, you know, this run for her sixth straight Olympics is going to be a great story to tell. And how does she do that? She's a mom of three. You know, how does she balance everything in her day? And that fits right with our message about how almonds are a healthy snack that help busy people on the go, you know, keep their diet in balance and keep their energy up throughout the day. I think she's going to be a great spokesperson for the Almond Board of California.
Definitely. The other day that we're going to talk about with your speaker for the second day, very interesting story here. Little less known than Kerry Walsh, has some agricultural ties. Who do you guys have lined up for the second one?
You're right. It is a very interesting story. John Stenderup is the son of one of the Almond Board of California's board members, actually, Kent Stenderup, who is a grower in the South Valley. And I remember when I first joined the Almond Board last year, or in 2018, actually, it was he was attempting to summit K2, which is really the world's most dangerous mountain to summit. It's the second tallest, of course, Everest being the tallest. And John climbed Everest, I think it was in 2017. And then was going for the K2 summit. And I started following his blog. And I'll just never forget reading the blog one day as he told this harrowing story of a day when, you know, weather and all kind of other obstacles came into play. And, you know, they were able to push through and he was able to summit that mountain. He's one of only seven Americans to have summited Mount Everest, K2, the second highest mountain, and a mountain called Lhotse, which is the fourth tallest. So that puts him, he's really achieved heights that few Americans ever have.
Very cool story. And when we were talking beforehand, there's a lot of correlation between some of the stuff he uses when he talks about his adventures with the sustainability goals that the almond industry is looking at in California, right?
Yeah, you know, when I started thinking about John's presentation at the Almond Conference and was talking to him, he mentioned that one of the themes of his presentation is we're all on the same rope. You know, if you think about a team that's summiting Everest or K2, they have to work together as a team, and they literally are all on the same rope. And if someone's not pulling their weight, somebody doesn't, you know, or the rope gets frayed, that's going to affect everybody on the team. And in many ways, that's how I see the Almond Orchard 2025 goals as an industry. We're all on the same rope. We're all headed toward this same summit in 2025 to achieve these goals. And just like in mountain climbing, we will face obstacles. The number one obstacle to summiting K2 or Everest is weather. And if you think about farming, that's a great analogy. And our ability to meet goals like improving our water use efficiency or pest management or reducing dust, so much of it is dependent upon weather. So I think John will do a great job of kind of tying that all together and just telling some amazing stories of his adventures in the highest parts of the planet Earth.
Very good. Again, this is the luncheon speakers for Tuesday, December 10th from 12:30 to 2, and then also Wednesday, December 11th from 12:30 to 2. If people want to find out more about these speakers or the agenda, they can go online, right?
Absolutely. You can go on to almondconference.com and sign up and register there, or purchase tickets for the luncheons. And registration for the Almond Conference is free. So there's, you know, if you're a grower or allied industry member here in the Central Valley or really anywhere around the world, there's no place you should be in December 10th to 12th other than Cal Expo in Sacramento for the Almond Conference.
Yeah. And again, Cal Expo, not the Sacramento Convention Center.
That's right. The Sacramento Convention Center, if you show up there, is under construction. there won't be a lot happening that you could participate in. But out at Cal Expo this year for 1 year, which frankly we're hearing from a lot of growers they're excited about, because it should be kind of easy in, easy out, and ample parking opportunities. So come up and visit us for a day or for all three. There's going to be tremendous programming there, and the largest trade show in the history of the Almond Conference. So there's going to be no shortage of things to do.
Very good, Darren. We will see you there. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Reporting for AgNet West, I'm Taylor Hillman.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AgNet West Farm City News Day. We've got more agriculture news right now.
The farm economy of the present, and what can be done to avoid the farm crisis of the 1980s.
I had two farmer friends of mine in my county. They got into so much trouble with 18% interest that they had to go bankrupt. They survived later, but that's how bad it was.
Former Agriculture Secretary and Illinois farmer John Block moderating a recent panel on the subject before farm broadcasters in Kansas City. Panelists included Farm Service Agency Kansas State Director David Shem, who pointed to differences in farm policy and programs from three decades ago to now that will be part of the solutions to avoid the economic impacts of the 80s.
We have a flexibility in them that allows our producers to do best what they have done for so many years, and that's called adapt to the challenges they face.
From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
For Pennsylvania Christmas tree grower Larry Snyder, growing trees is more than a business.
It's all about joy and happiness.
He says he gets a lot of that doing what he does.
Raising a product which will be one day in someone's home, creating happiness and joy for those people.
Of course, the home in this case, the White House. The family is the Trump family. And that's the horse-drawn wagon rolling up to the White House Monday, delivering to First Lady Melania Trump a 23-foot Douglas fir grown by Larry Snyder. The tree will go in the White House Blue Room. After a decade of trying it, Larry finally won the National Christmas Tree Competition, earning him the right to supply the White House tree.
An opportunity of a lifetime for my family and myself.
Larry and his family were here to personally deliver the tree to the First Lady.
My grandchildren are only going on 3 and 7, and they have found it just marvelous.
And for Larry,
the epitome of my tree farming career,
which started back in 1979. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
And now here's a recap of today's top story. More big retailers are pulling romaine lettuce products from their shelves after several people have fallen ill. And what seems like a repeat of last year has consumers falling ill just before the Thanksgiving holiday after the Center for Disease Control linked an E. coli outbreak to romaine lettuce grown in the Salinas area. The Centers for Disease Control is warning all consumers to not eat any type of romaine lettuce, including whole heads, hearts, salad mixes, and even organic lettuce from the Salinas growing area. Until further investigation can link a specific farm, all types of lettuce grown from the Salinas area have been pulled from major grocery stores, including Kroger, Target, Walmart, Aldi, Sam's Club, and more. According to the CDC, there have been 40 reported cases of foodborne illness, with 28 hospitalizations across 16 different states, including right here in California. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has recalled more than 97,000 pounds of various types of romaine products. However, the FDA maintains consumers can still eat lettuce, just not grown from the Salinas area. As folks prepare for their Thanksgiving Day meals, the FDA encourages consumers to take a look at the labeling, showing where the romaine lettuce product was grown. If there is no label, they encourage you not to purchase. Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Danielle Leal.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow AgNet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgNetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgNetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgNetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City News Day by AgNet West.